This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
Since becoming commissioner, everybody's asked me to try and clarify the reasonable compensation issue that's degenerated to an unacceptable level.
What is reasonable? For a businessman to work his entire life creating a business, to have somebody tell him what he's worth, it to me is the violation of every one of the constitutional rights of this country.
The debate continues right now in the New Hampshire legislature as a number of bills dealing with the LLC tax and its ugly stepmother, reasonable compensation, continues to make its way through the process, and we're trying to follow as much of it as humanly possible, especially given the words of the governor in recent weeks saying that he would actively advocate for repeal of the LLC tax. And as I shared with you yesterday, some of the blame games that have been going around from inside the legislative circles, and I said, really, there's no excuse for the blame games. Let's just get right down to work and do what's right. And, things should pretty much work out if it's all done in a reasonable, civil conversation. And, of course, it's going to need bipartisan support, considering that you do have Democrats in power who, they're the ones that control all three branches. Well, actually, two of the three branches of government. I don't know if really judiciary should be considered Democrat or Republican, but you kind of catch my drift, don't you? You have the House, you have the Senate, and you have the governor's office. Okay, so the will of the people is, let's repeal this thing, let's address reasonable compensation. The debate comes down to, which is the better of the deals that are out there right now? And is there one that is yet to come? As it seems to be, with conversations that I've had with legislators, they're still waiting for the governor to present his plan on how to address the projected loss in revenue from the LLC tax repeal. And other legislators have already offered their own taxes to substitute that. Well, joining us right now is a gentleman who follows tax law very closely. He is an attorney, Bill Ardinger, which is a name that should be familiar to many of you. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Bill Ardinger here to Bulldog Live on the Pulse. How you doing today?
Very good, Bulldog. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you and for inviting me.
Okay. Well, it's certainly a lot of stuff that we've been following over the past few months. And, you're certainly well aware of a lot of the arguments that came up after this tax was passed in the middle of the night and became part of the budget that was signed back in the summer. And then we looked at the rules that were instituting this. And, oh, boy, that's when things really got interesting.
I think you're right. In some respects, Brian, we had a perfect storm in the area of tax policy last year. When this provision, which was the LLC tax, it was called, it was an extension of a very old tax statute, the 1923 interest and dividends tax statute, to distributions to owners of interests in partnerships and LLCs. Now, nothing you'll never say anything about me other than I'm a boring tax nerd, but that was a big mouthful. The bottom line is that 1923 statute, IND statute, got extended to the core of New Hampshire's economy, which are small businesses, which organize themselves in partnership forms and limited liability company forms. And that change created a real focus on how businesses should be taxed, and also created a real focus on another issue, which was, in your lead into this segment, the question of how much can a partnership or proprietorship deduct for reasonable compensation to its owners. And so we've got those two issues clanging together like low pressure and high pressure area in a perfect storm: the LLC tax plus the reasonable comp issue. And the legislature this session with the governor has been working very hard to try and come up with solutions to both of those discrete tax problems.
Exactly. And I have been to a number of legislative hearings this year, and a few of which had to deal with the issue of reasonable compensation. And I do have to give one slim sliver of compliments, and that is to Commissioner Clardy of the DRA, who, well, you know, may have drawn some fire upon himself. However, he has been begging the legislature, please address this issue of reasonable compensation, because we cannot let this continue the way that it's been allowed to progress over the years.
I think you're absolutely right on the issue, and you're right to give some praise to Commissioner Clardy, our relatively new commissioner. Mm-hmm. This reasonable comp issue, is something that has caused a great deal of consternation among businesses. While the Department of Revenue Administration testified, as you know, Brian, in front of the Ways and Means Committee, they said that there had been almost 4,000 audits on the reasonable compensation issue for the business profits tax per year, and we only have 40,000 partnership and proprietorship returns that are filed, that pay tax. And so that's about 10% of our businesses get audited about whether their deduction was properly computed. Mm-hmm. And as the commissioner and the department team that they've got have testified and has had business organizations and business groups, the rules are so vague. They're, you know, imagine this, Brian. Imagine that the rule was in the IRS world, you can only deduct reasonable charitable contributions. I guarantee you, if that's the rule, there's going to be high level of disputes between taxpayers and the IRS over what a reasonable amount of charitable contributions are. That's not the rule, thank God. But the rule in reasonable comp is you get to deduct a reasonable comp. And no surprise to anyone, that vague rule has produced a huge range of disputes between taxpayers and the DRA, and everyone is looking for a fair, clear, objective rule that will end those audit disputes, which cost businesses money. There's only one group that benefits from that level of audit. Those are lawyers and tax accountants, and those are wasted dollars. They should be spent on the business purpose, not on fighting over what the meaning of the term reasonable is.
Right. And as we have seen, and I shared some testimony with a lady who testified at one of the LLC tax rules hearings. And she said, look, you know, the problem with this reasonable compensation is the way that it keeps, you know, the standard keeps getting lower. We're auditing people who are taking $10,000 as reasonable compensation, for crying out loud. And then she said another part of this, too, is that when a business is audited and challenged on their reasonable compensation, the business owner doesn't have the money to hire the tax accountant and the lawyer for a protracted fight to say, yes, this is what I truly am worth, you know, because then you have to go through appeals, you know, that's administrative process, or possibly even going to court, which becomes prohibitively expensive for many of our small business owners. So therefore, they settle for a much lower amount, and then that sets the stage for what's reasonable compensation, which in turn puts more money in the state's pocket.
Listen, that describes the problem with vague tax laws perfectly. Mm-hmm. The tax system operates on a voluntary compliance basis where we write laws, and then hopefully our laws are good enough that every citizen can fulfill its obligation to prepare a tax return, file it, and comply with the law. When you have a law that is unbelievably vague, it creates this untenable dispute between taxpayers and government. And you know where taxpayers go? When this kind of bad, vague law exists, they start to decide, why should I comply with this law? That's the undermining of the quality of a good tax system, and it should not be allowed to happen. And to the credit of the legislature, the House Ways and Means Committee, the Senate Ways and Means Committee, and senators, and the governor, and the Department of Revenue and taxpayers. Everyone's working together to try and come up with that perfect, clear rule so that taxpayers can file their tax returns, know that they've complied with the law when they file it, and not be fearful of a knock on the door from a DRA auditor 3 years from now and threatening a big tax adjustment and forcing them to spend money on a lawyer.
Right, and that's when we start getting into some of the debates that are going on in the legislature now. It seems like there's some competing legislation. House Bill 1607, which is Representative Susan Omi's bill to attempt to deal with reasonable compensation. And then we have the Senate version of Senator Lou D'Alessandro and Bob O'Dell, which would, in effect, repeal the LLC tax and deal with the reasonable compensation issue. I think that's Senate Bill 497. I can't recall.
Brian, you're right on target. It's Senate Bill 497.
Okay, good.
You've got those. You're right. Those are the two bills on the issue that both deal with the issue of how to try and make your reasonable compensation rules more precise. I would say that the big difference between the two is that Senate Bill 497, sponsored by Senator D'Alessandro, Senator O'Dell, bipartisan, Senator Downing, Senator Gallas, and then on the House side, Representative Doug Scammon, former Speaker, and Representative Dave Campbell from the Nashua area, right on the front line of our competitiveness in Nashua with math, their bill proposes similar changes to House Bill 1607 with one major exception. Senate Bill 497 provides two bright line, clear, audit-free safe harbors. So there is no question that if you file your return within or consistent with those safe harbors, you will know for certain that you will not be audited down the line. And so those two safe harbors, you know, in my view, and our clients support Senate Bill 497, those two safe harbors bring more definition, in my view, to the reasonable compensation vagueness problem than does House Bill 1607. However, I know this, the House Ways and Means Committee was very active to try and find a good objective rule, and I think its members remain committed to continue to work to try and improve and clarify that law. In fact, House Bill 1607 included a commission that would study in the future additional safe harbors. I think that the time, however, is now, because businesses need that certainty now, and our competitiveness as a state depends on being able to say to a business person when they're trying to locate one place or another, say, this is how you're going to be taxed, I guarantee it. Not, you might pay the BET, you might pay 8.5%, you know, anywhere between 0.75% and 8.5%. That's not acceptable.
Right, because businesses need the predictability in order to prosper and grow. And, of course, you know, having as low taxes as possible helps in that equation, too. But most certainly that certainty, because when they're looking at establishing in Maine, Vermont, or Massachusetts, or New Hampshire, they're looking at where am I going to – they don't want surprises. They want as few surprises as possible. The free market economy can throw enough at them.
Well, and you know, it really brings you back to your original point. When the LLC tax passed, that made our problem of competitiveness much worse, where if you were trying to sell, like let's say Department of Resources and Economic Development, DRED, was trying to sell a business person in Mass to move to New Hampshire, their promise became very weak, saying, you know, depending on how this reasonable comp issue got resolved, you'll pay a tax rate on your business income anywhere between 0.75%, that's the BET, or 13.5%. Now that the governor and legislative leaders have agreed that the LLC tax should be repealed, The only problem we're left with, assuming that the repeal happens, mm-hmm. the only problem we're left with is the reasonable comp problem. Everyone, all your listeners should know, Brian, that you can't just repeal the LLC tax, because that doesn't solve the reasonable comp problem. You got to keep pressing for clarity, for certainty, so that when you try and sell a new business person on New Hampshire, what you don't say is, come to New Hampshire, we promise you a vague, unclear tax system that will make you pay money on lawyers 3 years from now.
Bill Ardinger, who is a tax attorney himself, joining us here on Bulldog Live, 1-866-823-1077. Now, how does this safe harbor under Lou D'Alessandro and Bob O'Dell's bill, how does that become ironclad? I heard something about this adopting federal standards and federal rules.
Absolutely, that's what it does. It's that, you know, we all recognize that there's other tax systems out there. All we have to do is look at the federal system, find the federal rules, see which one makes sense to us, and piggyback it. That makes it easy to comply with. Accountants understand it. You can file your tax return. So Senate Bill 497 has two safe harbors that are based on federal law. The first one says, if you have business income from your proprietorship or your partnership, and if that business income is subject to the federal employment taxes, that is Social Security tax and Medicare tax, like everyone's W-2 is, subject to the FICA, you know, Social Security and Medicare. If your business income is subject to those federal taxes and you tell the federal government, here's what I owe, then that income under the Senate Bill 497 is absolutely going to be treated as fair compensation for New Hampshire purposes. So you could, all that income that's subject to the Social Security and Medicare tax as employment income gets safe, audit-free zone. No one can, the department can't challenge it 3 years down the line. So that's the very simple first safe harbor, the federal employment tax safe harbor. How does that sound, Brian?
Well, it sounds a little bit better to me. The question is, could this still, using that theory, could that still affect some of our smaller business owners? Could some new ones be roped into this, even with the repeal of the LLC tax?
No, I think that if the LLC tax gets repealed, that will remove the interest and dividends tax
right.
from the picture. So that's good. There's no one, I believe now, no one who disagrees with that premise. The governor's leadership on
right.
that one to repeal it has been helpful. The next question is that reasonable comp issue. And the safe harbor I've just talked about applies to every business, whether you're small or whether you're larger, whether you're brand new, or whether you're a successful entrepreneur. Everyone who reports their income to the federal government and gets has to pay Social Security and Medicare on it is going to be safe.
Okay, now I'm following that again. Thank you.
No, and now the second safe harbor is a little trickier, but it, again, it is subject to the federal rules. It's rules adopted under code section 162, which is part and parcel of both House Bill 1607 and Senate Bill 497. It just says if you pay an amount of tax, business profits tax, based on what an independent investor would demand as a return on capital investment in your business, a little more complicated, but not to tax accountants, then you're safe. The rest can be deducted as reasonable compensation. So it really is another rule in, if you see that federal courts have adopted this test under Section 162, and by codifying this test in Senate Bill 497 and ultimately into law, I think you'll provide a real option for a lot of small businesses to make sure that they don't have to worry about audit down the line. The real key to this one, this independent investor safe harbor, is you have to pay a little bit of tax. Then you've got your coverage. You've reported a fair amount of profit. You've paid business profits tax on it, but you haven't paid tax on your return for your services as an owner.
All right. Now, before, because time marches on, I do have fun talking about this, believe it or not, so that must make me a tax nerd, too.
You're nowhere near as awful as I am. You say it much clearer.
Thanks. Senate Bill 497 received a unanimous vote on the floor of the Senate, but they had, in order to take the next step, they had to send it back to the Senate Finance Committee because they have to determine what the cost of this is going to be. What are they looking at in there?
That's a very important point. Right now, these concepts in this bill and on this issue are very complicated, and the DRA. Who receives the tax returns and has the taxpayer data, they don't have the top-notch computers that we would all like them to have so that they could provide good information promptly to legislators who are considering these changes. So the department is working very hard with senators, senators on the Ways and Means Committee principally, but all the senators, to help advise them on what will the revenue effect from the changes in that bill be. And those revenue effects are not final yet, but the legislators are hoping that the department will reach, more refined, precise estimates so that they can make the changes that we need to make New Hampshire competitive again and to protect our business owners so that they won't have to suffer unexpected, costly, and wasteful audits 3 years after they file their tax returns.
All right. Well, tax attorney Bill Ardinger, I do appreciate your work on this issue and, being able to describe to us what's happening in the legislative process, because it really starts to get real sticky and murky and all kinds of fun stuff.
There's a lot of hard work to do, and they're covering, as you mentioned, lots of issues. The budget, other issues, and I'll tell you, I thank you, Bulldog, for your focus on the issue with your listeners, because I think it helps everyone get to a better answer.
All right. Well, thank you for that compliment, and good chatting with you. And I look forward to discussing this again with you in the not-too-distant future.
It would be my pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bill Ardinger. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.